This is Radio MD COVID-19 Daily, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. We are halfway through another week. It's Wednesday, May 13th. In this episode, hear about living alone in quarantine, and our healthcare hero is from Marin Health, who tells us about a day in her life on the front lines. And now, this news update. The plan is in its early stages, but the Chinese city of Wuhan is drawing up plans to test its entire population of 11 million people for COVID-19. Radio MD's Bill Klaproth has more.
A cluster of new cases, all from the same residential compound in the Chinese city of Wuhan, has now threatened the move back to normalcy. So the city of Wuhan is drawing up a plan to test its entire population of 11 million people for COVID-19. Yeah, you heard that right. They want to test all 11 million people, and they want to do it within the next 10 days. However, Chinese health officials are indicating that testing the entire city would be unfeasible and costly. The implementation plan has not yet been announced and is under further study, and official information will be released as soon as possible, sources said. The world will be watching as this outbreak started right there in Wuhan. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
New research suggests that around 14% of people in the United States would avoid seeking treatment if they experienced the key symptoms of COVID-19 due to the cost of care. With more on that report, we go to Radio MD's Scott Webb.
A new Gallup poll states that 1 in 7 Americans would not seek medical care for COVID-19 symptoms due to the costs involved. The study, conducted along with nonprofit West Health, shines a light on the fact that low-income Americans may have to make potentially life and death decisions based solely on their finances. By comparison, only 3% of the people who were polled with an annual household income of $100,000 or more would not seek treatment due to the costs. The poll also reveals that many Americans are still confused about the key symptoms of COVID-19, which are, once again, fever and dry cough. Reporting for Radio MD News, I'm Scott Webb.
Even the healthcare industry isn't safe from the booming unemployment numbers. Healthcare lost 1.4 million jobs in April amid the COVID-19 pandemic, primarily in ambulatory healthcare services, according to the latest jobs report from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. The April count compares to 43,000 healthcare jobs lost in March. Along with ambulatory healthcare services, April job losses included offices of dentists and offices of physicians. The unemployment rate does not reflect American healthcare workers still working who have had their hours or pay reduced. Living alone is preferred by some, but how far does that stretch during the era of COVID-19? Author Glynis McNichol recently joined Dr. Pamela Peek on her Radio MD podcast, Her, to talk about her recent article in the New York Times and to share her experiences as a single woman who has already navigated the solace of living alone, and how she is viewing our current state of social distancing, sheltering in place, and isolation.
I'm telling you right now, I loved the article, okay? I mean, just truth, it was the best. And
it was
kind of like, okay, well now, I'm like 40, and I live alone without a partner, without the kid thing, you know, and you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute now, she's breaking all the damn rules. What's going on here? And now all of a sudden everyone has to be sheltered in place and you can't go out except for essential trips to wherever, the grocer and the pharmacy. And everyone's in shock. Like, how do you do this? I'm alone. And your response was, well, welcome to my world. I've been here all along. Tell me what was going on when you wrote that article.
Well, the interesting thing is the article has actually been in the works since February, and it began as me wondering whether I'd become too good at being alone and a little too self-sufficient for my own good. And then, of course, COVID came along, and we were all, as you say, restricted to our apartments, many people by themselves who weren't used to it, and certainly a level of isolation for everyone. And it felt like this very weird, suddenly being thrust into the middle of a global experience instead of feeling on the periphery of what's recognized as the common experience. I think that despite the numbers showing so many people are choosing to live alone, the stories we tend to tell, particularly about women's lives, still revolve around marriage and motherhood. And so to suddenly feel like you're part of the mainstream was really sort of fascinating to me.
Yeah, I love it. It was really kind of interesting. There's this one paragraph here. This has put me at a particular advantage during the last 3 weeks or three centuries, depending upon how you've experienced time since March, as many of the increasing restrictions being placed on New York City were already in place in my daily life. I've been working from home for nearly a decade. After 15 years in media, I've grown accustomed to facing financial instability and a market that is unreliable. And I live alone, so social distancing is the norm when I'm inside. In other words, I didn't have to change much. You know, I remember scratching my head, going, "Now that's very cool." I love the way you put that. You know,
I think a lot of freelancers who work from home had a similar experience. We were talking to many friends, and we were all like, "Well, it's not that different." That was early days where it was just sort of like, I don't have to change too much. I think now that we're nearly a month into this, the truth is that the inability to interact with other people is increasingly punishing, particularly for people who are home alone. That the absolute absence of human interaction in real life, the absence just of touch or embrace or anything like that, is really tough. And it's made me, and so many people I know who are in a similar position or situation, aware of how much of our lives are about connection and interaction, that it's this sort of incredible, the flip side of the fact that I live by myself is that I interact with so many people on a daily basis, that I'm involved in so many other people's families and lives. And I'm so grateful for that. And of course, that has been completely absent in the last few weeks. You know, if we've discovered anything, it's that FaceTime and Zoom are not, you know, equal to real life.
You can hear the rest of this conversation on Dr. Pamela Peek's Radio MD podcast, Her, found on any major podcast platform. And our healthcare hero today is in California. Irene Tepper is the medical director of After Hours and Adult Acute Care Clinic at Marin Health and tells us about a day in her life on the front lines. How do you and your staff keep going? How do you maintain a positive attitude during all of this?
Well, me personally, I'm a member of the Women in Medical, a group of women physicians. We've been meeting regularly before COVID and have continued to meet fairly regularly throughout the pandemic, only obviously over Zoom at this point. That's a great support group, even though it started as more of a leadership training, but has now turned into a support group. Also, the staff that work at the acute care clinic are unbelievable. Sheila Perryman is the manager, and she's just been a great asset and super supportive as well, and I hope that I'm supportive to her as well. But the staff there are unbelievable. They're all from different offices. There are a couple MAs that are from Dr. Pack's office, which is a vascular surgery office. There are nurses from the hospital, staff from other providers' office. So it's kind of a hodgepodge of various people from different offices, but they really molded well together and work really well together. And all the physicians that have worked at the clinic have commented what a great group of people we have there. And then my office staff have also, I mean, they've always been awesome. My medical assistant has to work from home because of childcare issues, but we connect on an app called Teams, and she's able to do a lot of work from home and has been also tremendous.
You mentioned earlier to me that Marin is a older county with, of course, moving to video chat and things like, how have you been adapting?
Well, the biggest challenge with an older patient population is that they have difficulties with technology. So some patients were just not able to see via video visit, and then we have to do a telephone encounter. But overwhelming majority probably are very tech savvy. And within a week of us being asked to transition to video visits, we were 70% on video visits. So that was pretty amazing. The community embraced it. The patients think it's actually quite fun. We are doing patient satisfaction surveys, and they're coming back as people are quite satisfied with this method.
Any message to maybe your staff or just members of the community?
Well, Marin has done really well, and partially because we transitioned to video visits actually before shelter-in-place order was given. So Marin has done much, much better than most counties. And I would say that in large part, it's been thanks to very visionary leadership of our chief medical officer, who has kind of stayed one step ahead of the pandemic and transitioned us to video visits, and then asked us to open this acute care clinic for patients who might have COVID, what's called PUIs, persons under investigation, so that they still have somewhere to go and be taken care of. And then he also asked us to start a mobile care unit, which Dr. Lowe, one of the providers in our community, has been leading. And we have partnered with the Department of Public Health and then also with Kaiser. And so our mobile care unit goes out to skilled nursing facilities, which is where most of the battles now take place. And we provide a lot of education for the staff working there as far as infection prevention measures and reassurance. We test when needed all the staff and all the residents. We guide them on isolation and quarantine, and when they're able to return to work, or when patients are able to return to kind of the main area. So that has also kept the pandemic kind of at bay here.
Hear more about Marin Health as well as their own show, The Healing Podcast, at mymarinhealth.org. This has been Radio MD COVID-19 Daily. Tell us about your local hospital or throw some other suggestions our way at COVID19daily@radiomd.com. That's COVID19daily@radiomd.com. Enjoy the spring weather if you're lucky enough to have some where you are. I'm Caitlin White. Stay home and stay healthy.